We are back. Welcome to another week. It's a good episode as usual. I'm happy to be here. Dante is happy to be here. If you guys are new to this show is called Polar Opposites because Dante and I agree, we disagree. It depends on what we're talking about for this specific week. This week, we will probably disagree, just to let y'all know, because we have a fun segment planned for you guys. It's been enough doom and gloom, so we're gonna, you know, pull out our smiles and have some fun on this episode. I'm really appreciative that you guys are here. If you're listening on Spotify, be sure to hit the following button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I hope you're liking that new update, because Dante texted me this weekend that he hates it, but nevertheless, there is a subscribe button, so be sure to hit that subscribe button, and most importantly, tell a friend to tell a friend about the show. Dante, how's that update?
That update is super trash, like super, super trash. You have to go through an episode and, I mean, listen to it all the way for it to clear out of your queue before you could just delete them. It's super trash, it's super time consuming. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. Sometimes you should leave well enough alone. And that's a mini off my chest. Thank you, Julia.
Ooh, thank you, Julia. Before we get to that, we just have to say that we have an anonymous link in the description of this episode and in every episode where you guys can click that link and then ask us anything that you want. So it doesn't have to be a question. If you guys want to say hi, if you want to tell us how you found the show and that you enjoy it, little stuff like that makes a big difference because we love connecting to you guys and hearing what y'all have to say about the show. I just wanted to point that out in case y'all didn't know. Subscribe, tell your meemaws and peepas. And also we have an Instagram. So if you guys want to connect to us there, feel free to follow us on both our personal page and on the podcast page. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. Dante, how was your week? It's been a while. It feels like it's been a long time since we've took over on these mics.
Yeah, it does. So far, so good. Got to the beach, you know, so got some salt air. It's good for the soul. I know you landlocked people don't understand, and I feel bad for it. I'm not even joking. I'm not rubbing it in. I'm telling you, that's one of my favorite places in the world to be. And everybody has a different ritual when they go. Like, some people like to read a book. You know, some people like to listen to this podcast. We appreciate it. Shameless plug. But I listen to music that doesn't fit the beach when I go to the beach. Like, I listen to Stevie Wonder when I'm on the beach. And I don't know. It just does something for me. I can't explain it. I'm weird. And I don't give a fuck. Sue me.
Right. We need more of that energy. I wish everybody had that energy when it comes to looking at life. But Texas is actually not landlocked, by the way. We have the Gulf of Mexico on the coast. But
oh, Galveston. Yeah, that's down there. Yeah.
So we do, you know, have beaches and stuff. I just don't live near one. If any of you guys are new to the show, I live in Texas and Dante lives in New Jersey. I feel like I have to say this every few episodes because new listeners might think that we're in the same room. We are not. I'm recording in Texas and Dante is all the way in Joy-Z, as I like to call it, but we come together to make it work for the show. We love it, and y'all can't hear the difference.
You know what? I'm glad that you have to emphasize it every episode, because that just shows how great of a producer and editor Justin is, where y'all think we in the same room.
Oh my gosh.
So clap it up for Justin one time, guys. Thank you.
I appreciate that. But, you know, my weekend is good. I'm fully recovered from my COVID vaccine, even though I didn't have any symptoms. The only symptom I had was extreme tiredness. Last week when we were recording, I was like, oh, can this be over? I want to sleep. I'm really tired. I kept yawning. But this week, I'm full of energy. I ate. I have my water right next to me. We have our topic list in front of us. We are ready. But I just wanted to say, me and Dante, we're open to most things music-wise. And I saw that one of my friends, who I really trust her opinion, posted that she listened to Olivia Rodrigo's new album that came out last week. And I was like, why would she listen to this? Because she's a millennial. Obviously, Olivia Rodrigo is Gen Z, so I wouldn't think that this album would appeal to my friend. So because my friend listened to it, I decided to take it upon myself because I have Apple Music, so it's right there. And I listened to her album and pleasantly surprised, Dante. Pleasantly surprised.
So just so we're on the same page here, right? That's that stalker girl that talks about, you know, driving past people's street and stuff.
Well, you call her a stalker, but the song actually isn't about stalking. If you listen to the driver's license song, she's talking about driving past his house, the same path that they used to follow when they were together. And now she's driving in her car, but he's not there in the passenger seat and having to go through that loss. The teenage angst just jumped out. But
sounds like some stalker shit to me, man. Sounds like some stalker shit to me. Just saying. But I digress.
It was a good album. I'm very surprised. And it's actually doing numbers. Like, I saw that it sold, you know, almost 200,000 in its first week, more than Ariana Grande's most recent album. I'm like, this Olivia Rodrigo girl, she writes all her songs as well. She might be the new T-Swizzle on the block. I'm very impressed, and I hope that she continues the success that she's already experiencing.
Listen, you can't just be anointing people, T-Swizzle. Girl has 15 years of dominance in the game. Anyway. Moving on, unless you want to say something else.
No, I just want to say y'all should check out the album. Give it a fair listen. It reminded me of my youth. So maybe you guys that are a little bit older will be reminded of that as you go back and listen to that. Because I'm being serious, though. There's articles that are being written that are saying that this album reminds millennials of what it means to be young. One of her singles on there sounds like Paramore's Misery Business. I was like, is this Paramore or what? So I'm like, man, she's really going back into the past and making that relevant for the Gen Z people of today. So
hold on.
Whatever formula she's cooking up, it's working because she's number one this week.
You said there's something on there that sounds like Paramore.
Yeah, she has, I think it's her single that she just released, her third single, I think, is called Good For You, and it sounds just like Paramore's Misery Business.
You had my attention, now you have my interest. I'm going to go check out that song, because I fuck with Paramore the long way. That's my shit.
Mm-hmm. Just give it a fair listen. Obviously, Olivia Rodrigo is not right up my alley, but it was a better listen than the J. Cole album. And that's all I'll say before the J. Cole bots come out of the woodwork and try and attack me. Attack me all you want to continue to listen and drive up the numbers. But anyway, let's move on to, I guess, listener questions. So, Dante, we have some questions to answer. What are they?
Yeah, first of all, thank you guys for writing in. The number keeps going up every week, so we have a backlog, and we will be answering your questions. Please keep writing in new questions. We love the interaction with the show. So this week we have two listener questions that kind of go hand in hand. So I'm going to read both of them and let you know that they're two different questions, and then Justin and I will answer them. But I want to address one question very quickly. Somebody wrote in again and said, "Are these questions really anonymous?" Yes, it is. We don't know who writes in unless you put your name in it. Like in the question that you're writing. So yes, they are anonymous. There's no, we're not faking the funk on that. Why would we lie to you, baby? We don't want to do
right.
that. So first question, do y'all want to eventually be a father? And if so, how do you think raising a son and raising a daughter would be different? First question. Second question says, I don't like the phrase raise boys and girls the same way. While I would love for this to be true, I believe there are struggles unique to little boys and struggles unique to little girls. For example, if I had a little boy, I would unfortunately have to emphasize how to carefully interact with police officers. If I had a little girl, I would have to emphasize how to protect herself against rape, sex trafficking, walking alone at night, in parentheses, hell, walking alone in the daylight too. I'm not saying that the above struggles cannot be interchanged between genders, but it's naive to think we can raise kids the same way while ignoring how they bear different weights of society. Justin, your thoughts.
First of all, whoever wrote that, I love it. Y'all know that I'm really detail oriented, and I love when y'all include all these details and wrinkles into these letters because it makes it fun to read, to be honest. So there's a lot of stuff to explore with what this person said. The first question I remember was, do we want kids? I don't know. I've always imagined myself as having one kid. I've never been like a kid's person, but I just want to have one just to see what they look like, if my kid resembles me or not. That's the only curiosity and mystery I have when it comes to having children. I just want to see what they look like and if they look like me or not. Just could y'all imagine another, you know, little Justin running around? That would be insane, because when I was growing up, I was the bad kid, so my kids would be bad. But honestly, because I was raised very strictly, I would parent my kids, you know, in an iron fist type way. Y'all are like, yeah, right, Justin, you would be lenient. And who am I kidding? I probably would be lenient, but I think that you have to obviously bring the hammer down when you need to and be a parent when you need to. And that means open communication. But nevertheless, I guess that answers your question on whether or not we want kids. And I think when people say you should raise your kids the same, I think that means that you should raise your kids and give them the same treatment. Some people say that there's a favorite kid or there's a least desirable kid or whatever. And that's very true because some parents will never admit that they do have favorite children. And that can cause a lot of resentment when you look at the relationship between a parent and the child. You should love your kids equally and treat them equally in that regard. Now, when it comes to teaching them about the world, obviously there are different things that you have to emphasize, and that's due to gender. Obviously, in this world, men and women are not treated equally. So you have to parent differently to adjust to that, because you have to prepare your child for the world the best way you know how. And if you're not equipping your children with the skills and the knowledge to go out into the world, I think that you're failing as a parent. And obviously, like with sex and all that kind of stuff, it's different as well, because when you teach your kid about that stuff, there's stuff that women deal with and then there's stuff that guys deal with. I just want to emphasize the importance of open communication when it comes to parenting your child as well. You never want a situation where your kid doesn't feel comfortable to come to you when situations arise. I think that you can best help yourself in that situation by making them feel comfortable, by being open with them, but still not forgetting that balance. They are a parent at the end of the day, and you have to parent your child. And some people find difficulty with being a friend versus being a parent. You're a parent first, and the way you communicate with your child ultimately affects how they come to you in certain situations.
All right. So, to answer the first question, yes, I would love to be a father one day. I think that's one of the biggest responsibilities you can have in this world, and one of the best titles you can ever have in this world is a father or a mother. So, yes, I do want kids. I don't want six of them. But, you know, two, topping out at three, man, that shit's expensive. So topping out at three, after that, we've got to get fixed. Like, you right. Treat us like the something like dogs or cats. Gotta go get fixed, man. Snip, snip. So yes. But into the second question, I agree with the person who wrote in. There are different conversations and lessons and just different level of interaction that you need to have raising a son versus raising a daughter, right? For your son, there's not some one size fits all. One thing is important to know here is that we're all humans, and by definition, a human's a variable. So you have to tailor how you're raising this child to their personality and how they react to things and what they've, mm-hmm. you know, been taught and have learned and how they feel. You know, this is a living, breathing thing, and it has an opinion that's being molded, not just by you, but what they're intaking from the world. So a one size fits all is not going to work. You're not going to raise your two daughters exactly the same way, probably, because they probably have very different personalities. In terms of the larger issues, yes, you're going to have to make your daughters aware of a lot of things. And you're going to also, at the same time, have to make your son aware of a lot of things. You're going to have to talk to him about what consent is. We had a workshop before, and a lot of guys don't know what consent it really is. And that's scary. And I know for me, sitting back looking back on that, it's like, man, I don't want my daughter out here, because if people don't know what consent is, that's scary. And I don't want, you know, I wouldn't want, I'd be willing to kill about mine, just put it like that. So, yes, we need to, I think there's different approaches to raising these kids. Now, I don't want to get into the old cliches of like, your son falls down, you know, he's 2 years old, scrapes his knee and starts crying, and you hit him in the chest a little bit, like, men don't cry. Stop being a pussy. Men don't cry. That's whack, man. That's real whack. That's why we have so many broken men out here that then turn around and break their partners, break the females that they're with, because they were broken and were never allowed to show emotion. They don't know how to handle and process these things.
Mm-hmm. It's about breaking that cycle.
Yeah. And I think I've veered off from answering your question. But yes, no, I agree with you that you can't raise them the same. You have to tailor that information to the audience. It's like public speaking. Tailor it to that audience.
Thank you for writing that question. And if that's one person, if that's two people writing those questions, we appreciate it. We love talking to you guys and getting to read feedback from you guys. So please send us more. We are beggars when it comes to this. Please, sir, one more letter.
Please, sir, I want some more.
With the orphan trembling his hand out for a handout, we want handouts over here when it comes to letters only, okay? So let's get into Off My Chest this week.
Justin's got a gift. It's off his chest. Dante has got to get it off his chest. Justin and Dante gotta get it off their chest.
Thank you, Julia. So I actually don't have an off my chest this week. I finished the vaccine, so I'm happy about that. Dante, what do you need to get off your chest this week?
I have a positive off my chest, and, you know, good thing that you're feeling better getting your second dose of the vaccine. But I have a positive off my chest, and I just want to say that, you know, if you have friends in your life that mean something to you and you enjoy each other's company, they make you feel good, you make them feel good, make sure you let them people know that you appreciate them. I've been having different conversations with, you know, a bunch of different friends of mine, and friends are the family that you choose, you know. So I'm really bad at taking compliments when it comes to something that I'm working towards or striving towards. And somebody very close to me was like, yo, you inspire me, because we were talking about something I'm doing or trying to do that's coming to fruition now, speaking into existence, guys, financially, right? And he's like, you inspire me. You keep pushing me to do better. He's like, it's not a competition thing. Like, you don't get something and I'm like, oh, well, I got to go do this now because Dante did it, or I got to get better than him. No, we lift each other up, build each other up, because that's what you do when you care about people. So just let the people know that you care about them. Like I was saying earlier when we were answering that listener question, fuck all that, the way you were raised or the way that society wants you to be and don't show emotions, blah, blah. Nah, I let people know I care about them. If that make me look soft, oh, well, come get these hands. We can see how soft I am. I don't care.
So that about wraps up off my chest. Let's quickly, in 10 minutes, run through all of these stories. So the CDC, a week or so ago, announced that they are relaxing mask wearing if you've been vaccinated.
News of the CDC's big announcement spread quickly among the shoppers in LA's Fairfax district, some wearing masks, some without.
I love it. I hate masks. You can't breathe.
I feel like it's good. It's good for the city.
I think it's great. For those who are fully vaccinated, like myself, my husband, my boys, yeah, I think it's the right call.
The CDC update is largely the result of three key indicators now at very low points nationwide, largely mirrored locally: virus cases, deaths, and the test positivity rate.
This is an exciting and powerful moment.
So now people who have gotten their second round of their vaccine can take off their mask in public if they feel comfortable. A lot of people are uncomfortable by this because the people that have chosen not to wear their mask will be in with the people who have chosen to wear their mask and have been vaccinated. So people are like, nah, I'm not about it. But what do you think? Do you feel any type of way about this?
This actually, man, I can't wait to go full circle with you guys later in the episode. This ties into something that I'm going to say. But hey, you do your thing. I'm gonna still wear my mask. I ain't out here having unprotected sex just because y'all say it's okay now. Because that's what breathing without a mask is right now. That's what it feels like. So I'm good. I'm gonna keep wearing my mask. I am fully vaccinated. But, you know, in public spaces where there's a lot of people, we know not everybody thinks the same as you. Everybody has different morals, different opinions, different beliefs. And I ain't here to argue with nobody about any of that anymore. I'm gonna still wear my mask. Period, point blank.
I think it's interesting and also sad that by not wearing a mask, people can kind of glean into the political affiliation of the person that's choosing not to wear a mask. So it's interesting now that the mask mandate, I guess, is over. People are not going to be wearing their mask anymore. And people that think like that, that think that by not wearing a mask, you lean one way or the other, they're not going to have the ability to decipher who's who. So I think that's interesting because, in a way, because it became so politicized, people were able to see, okay, I know where you stand because you're in a public space and you're not wearing a mask. Okay. So now it's going to be difficult for people to make that decision, I guess.
And it sucks because, like, the people that had to enforce these rules are, you know, somebody that's making $13 an hour working at a grocery store, some kid in college or something like that, or somebody, you know, somebody working a job that's not paying them a lot, and they have to be like, hey, you got to get out of here because you don't have a mask on. Now these people are giving them all the static and all the grief in the world, and they're like, man, I'm just clocking in to make my money and leave. It's not for me to tell you how to live your life. It's just company policy. And this also goes very hand in hand. I love holding a mirror up and telling the right that they're hypocrites. This goes hand in hand with First Amendment rights. You know, you are allowed to refuse service to somebody, just not as long as it's not based on sex, religion, and race. So if you're a private establishment and you say, hey, everybody got to wear a mask here, and they say, well, actually, that's not a mandate anymore. It's my private business. If you don't want to do it, get the fuck out. That is legal. we'll probably see some court cases coming out of this, to be honest with you.
But the good thing is that if you're concerned about that, get vaccinated, and then you don't have to worry about who's wearing a mask and who's not. Keep that in mind as well. It's not the one jump or fix all. I'm really bad at these little catchphrases and terms. It's not the one shoot fix all. Y'all know what I'm trying to say, but anyway. It's not gonna, you know, eradicate the virus, but it's a good step in feeling comfortable for yourself and taking the mask off if you feel comfortable to do so. So that's that. What's the next story that we wanted to do?
So the big issue in Congress is taking up right now as to whether or not to have a 9/11 slash Benghazi style commission into what exactly happened on January 6th during the insurrection and what was the planning behind it and how deep it goes. So Republicans are coming out in unison for the most part saying, no, we don't need a bipartisan commission. We don't need to find out anything. It wasn't that big of a deal. They were peaceful protesters. A lot of them were hugging and kissing cops, you know, regardless of the cop who died or the video that we've seen of a cop getting crushed between doors. Blue Lives Matter, right? Sorry, guys. I had to laugh at myself there. But yeah, so that's what they're debating right now. The House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, does not want to have this commission because he would be called on to testify about what he knew, when he knew it, and when he talked to 45. So it doesn't look like we're going to get a commission. Now, we had a bipartisan commission, like I mentioned before, for 9/11, because it wasn't a Democrat or Republican, you know, group of people that did that. It was an outside force. We had it on Benghazi because Hillary Clinton made it clear that her intentions were to run for president one day. So they dragged that out for 2 years. Not saying that it wasn't warranted, the commission on it. It is what it is. I'm not getting into that. I don't argue history. Not going to argue the past. I'm not re-legislating the past. It's not my business.
And quickly, if anybody's confused about what we're talking about, the whole commission on Benghazi a few years ago, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State in Benghazi, there was an attack on an American diplomat. That diplomat was killed. And then the reason as to why that person was killed, there was lies, there was like half-truths or whatever. Bottom line is that we didn't know exactly how these people died. Some people said that there was some cell phone video and that's why rioters came and killed the diplomat. Some people said that it was a random attack. So in order to uncover the truth, they called Hillary Clinton down to testify. It was a whole big deal and it dragged on forever in all these different hearings where she was sitting down in front of Congress for hours and they were badgering her with questions. So when we're talking about a commission, we're talking about an investigation into what happened and people will get called to testify and sit there for hours in front of people while they're asked a million questions until we get to the bottom of uncovering whatever situation happened.
Yeah, and it was over 2,000 hours of testimony there. So thank you for bringing people up to speed on that, Justin. I really appreciate that. See, we're a team here. But anyway,
of course,
they don't want to have a bipartisan commission to find out what happened and what led to the insurrection on January 6th. Because hit dogs holler, right? They don't want things to get uncovered about people in their own party and that are elected officials giving people access or giving them floor plans or telling them where certain people's offices were, because all that would get uncovered. My thoughts on this before I swing it to you, Justin, is that why not do it? Who cares? Even if it comes out that they did all this, we have seen over and over again that this party protects its own to the death. They're not going to kick them out of Congress. They're not going to strip them of any committees. They're not going to be tarred and feathered and be a stain on this democracy like they should be. They'll be like, hey, they made a mistake. We've talked it over with them. Nothing like this will happen moving forward.
I don't have too much to say or to add on to what you just said. I think it's just important to talk about just so everybody's aware of what's going on in the world, especially as it relates to politics. I guess to cap everything off with positive news, at the time of this recording last night was the Billboard Music Awards, and Drake, he was honored with Artist of the Decade. I think that this is well deserved because for the past 10 years, Drake has been dominating the charts with number one albums, number one singles, big hits, features, everything. You name it, okay? He's been killing the game, and I think it's really great to see him honored in that way. He brought out his son and, you know, gave a really good speech.
I'm really self-conscious about my music. And even if I do a good job, I always wonder, you know, how I could have done it better. I rarely celebrate anything. And just for anyone watching this that's wondering how this happened, you know, that's really the answer. It's being so unsure how you're getting it done that you just kind of keep going in the hopes of figuring out the formula. Feeling so lucky and blessed that the fear of losing it keeps you up at night. I didn't really write a grandiose speech about how to make it work or what it took, because, you know, to be really honest with you, I don't quite understand it myself, but I just know.
And also that night, The Weeknd, I think, walked away with 10 Billboard awards. Congrats to The Weeknd. See, I give him his flowers when necessary. Congrats. It's a big deal, because the thing with the Billboard awards is that it's not voted with secret committees or whatever. It reflects what happened on the Billboard charts. So if you had the top single of that year, you are going to win the award. There's no question as to who is winning and why they're winning. Whoever dominated the charts is who's going to dominate the award ceremony. So The Weeknd won 10 awards, and that's reflective of his success with After Hours and with Blinding Lights. Congrats to him. Congrats to Drake. I don't know who else won, but I just had to mention that in case The Weeknd stands are like, oh, he hates The Weeknd. He's a hater. We've seen it before.
They're going to aggregate this and come for you. So that's interesting. Artist of the Decade goes to Drake. You know, is it an unpopular opinion to say that there's somebody else that could have deserved that award more than him?
Who would that be?
There's two people that I'm not saying I believe this. I'm saying that you can make an argument for two other artists, and those two artists would be Beyonce and Taylor Swift. And when you say the decade, are you saying 2010 to 2020?
Yes. No, 2010 to 2019.
Oh, yeah. You can make a very strong argument for both of them.
They honored, I don't know if it was the Billboard Awards that honored Taylor Swift. I think they honored her last year, the year before, with some kind of special award. At the AMAs, she was honored with, I think, Artist of the Decade. Beyonce has been, you know, honored with the, I think, Millennium Award at the Billboard Awards. So they've given them their flowers.
I'd also like to thank my best friend. And I don't want to put you on the spot, because I know they're probably putting the camera in your face right now. But I love me some Jay-Z. And I have to say thank you to all the legends that said all of those beautiful things to me. I grew up loving and admiring all of the people that were on that tape, and I cannot believe they said those things about me. God bless you guys. And thank you so much. This is a moment I have to soak in, because it's going to be, and it is, one of the best memories of my life. So thank you.
I think that they're all three legends. Facts. In this current era. So we're lucky to be living in the beginning of their career, the prime of their career, and the latter half of their career, where they're building a legacy for themselves. So we're lucky in that regard to be amongst them in that way. But, you know, congrats to all of them. They've all been killing it, and we love to see it. That's all I'm going to say. We love
Yes, we do.
To segue into our main topic this week, we're giving y'all a little bit of both. If you guys are listeners to the show, we like to do a segment called What Would You Do, where we read off different scenarios and we ask ourselves how we would handle this situation. What would we do? And then we have another, you know, segment called Unpopular Opinions, where Dante and I read off unpopular opinions that we wholeheartedly believe, and we debate about it, and hopefully we get to the bottom and have some kind of resolution. Most times we don't. We'll see what happens on this episode, but y'all love those two segments. So instead of doing one or the other, we're just going to do both this week. So we have our list of unpopular opinions and what would you do scenarios, and we're going to read them. Dante, I feel like you want to go first. Do you want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, you know what? I'll start with a what would you do situation, Justin. So
okay,
you have the opportunity to take your dream job. You meet your manager and something just doesn't feel right. From your meeting, you understand that their morals go counter to everything you believe, and you feel the tension from the first time you guys are introduced. Would you still take that job? What would you do?
I always trust my gut. And I think that whenever you're interviewing, that's your chance to get a vibe of the place that you're about to be a part of. You're going to be a part of their culture and the environment at this specific place. So knowing that, I'll trust my gut. And if whatever I'm feeling is really resonating in my spirit, I'm not going to take the job. I actually don't believe in the idea of a dream job. I always say I don't dream of labor. I think it's part of the capitalist conditioning that we've all been a part of, where we're supposed to aspire for labor. I don't aspire for labor, so that's nothing I ever aspire to be, you know, a part of. But
fucking preach. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Oh my god, I don't dream of labor. Yo, put it on a t-shirt.
I always say capitalism will not kill me. That's the tagline of the show, and I'm going to continue to say it because I truly do believe that capitalism will not kill me. I don't aspire to labor. We only work to make money. If people had the option to do what they love or their current job, they would do what they love, and it would not coincide with the current occupation. So with that being said, I would go elsewhere, because if I feel like it's not a match for me, there's another job that will hire me because I'm hella qualified, baby.
Big facts. Let them know. Say that shit with your chest.
I am qualified.
Faced with the same situation, I agree with you. I actually have been in this situation and made the fateful mistake of taking the job, and it was miserable. And there are a few people in this world that, you know, if I saw them, it would be on site. But my manager there, it would be on site if I ran across them in the streets. All jokes aside.
Damn.
Yeah, so since then, I have chosen to go with my gut. I've been on different interviews and gotten offers and turned it down because something didn't feel right, or I didn't like the information I was getting, or I didn't think that I'd be set up, you know, with the tools I need to succeed. So no shame in it. I go with, you know, my gut feeling and the information that I've been able to gather. And I suggest that people do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Know your worth and know what you stand by. And with all of that intact, you'll make the best decision for you. And that's always the hope. So I'm never going to tell somebody to not take an offer that'll change their lives. But at the end of the day, if it goes against what you stand for, think about that. And, you know, I guess you have to question your morals and what you're willing to do for that bag. So sometimes it's not worth it.
It really isn't. Sometimes your peace of mind and quality of life is more important than the dollar amount on your check.
So I'm going to go with an unpopular opinion. So my unpopular opinion is in regard to sports, and it is that Serena Williams is the best athlete, and that's with both males and females. She is the best, number one of all time when it comes to professional sports in any sport.
It is an unpopular opinion. I agree that so I think that there is certainly an argument to be made for her being the greatest athlete of all time. But there's also an argument to argue against that. And if you allow me, I will, you know, state probably the biggest argument against that.
You have the floor, sir.
She doesn't even have the record for most majors in her own sport. So before, yeah, if you're the greatest, you have won the most, right? Or the impact you've had on the game. Now, and listen, just to preface this, I'm not saying that I totally, I do disagree with you, but I And when one of the people that said, hey, Serena is one of the greatest athletes of all time. But if you don't hold the record for the most championships or majors in this case, because it's tennis in your own sport, that's a heavy indictment against you being the best of all time. There are people like Michael Jordan and Bill Russell where it's like, hey, nobody's going to win 11 championships like Bill Russell. Or in hockey, Wayne Gretzky, where it's like, if you take away all the goals he ever scored, he still leads the history of hockey in scoring by like 1,000. So like there's crazy statistics out there. Then you get into the Olympics, right? You could talk about a Simone Biles. You could talk about a Usain Bolt. You could talk about a Michael Phelps. That's why it's hard to really say somebody is clear cut the greatest athlete of all time.
I think a better example would have been for me to say Simone Biles instead of Serena, to be honest. I'll group them together for the sake of this argument, but I think both of them are the best athletes, both male and female. And I don't think that you have to win the most championships or whatever to be considered the greatest, because it's about your skill as well and what you've done for the sport. If you've changed the game in ways that you can't even measure, you are the greatest of all time, because sometimes when you play a team sport, like, there's no way you can be the best if somebody else makes a mistake, and that's the reason why you don't win a championship. You know, wins and championships aren't the only measure of greatness.
Here's one of those things. It's an unpopular opinion. What you just said is more of an unpopular opinion than anything you said about Serena and Simone. What you said about the winning and the championships is more of an unpopular opinion. And
it's true.
We'll agree to disagree there. That's the whole point of this episode, right? That was an unpopular opinion for sure. Let us know what you think about what Justin just said. Can you repeat it, please, for the listeners?
The number of wins, the number of championships are not the only measure of what makes somebody great. You don't have to win the most and have the most championship rings in order to be considered the greatest.
Gotcha. All right. So I guess it's my turn. I guess I will do an unpopular opinion since you just did one. And mine is two music ones that are kind of rapid fire. First one, Drake hasn't had a good album since Views. And Maroon 5 isn't good at all.
Is that a fact or is that an unpopular opinion?
Shit, they sound like facts to me, dog.
Personally, you're not, you know, doing anything with this opinion when it comes to me because I'm not the biggest fan of Drake. I appreciate what he's done for music and for hip hop, but I'm not a Drake stan and I'm not going to be like, no, you're wrong, you're wrong. If you look at the, you know, reception of Views, if you look at the reception of his Scorpion album, they have not been up to par. I can't think of any memorable singles from either. And it's like, it's hard when we call somebody a legend because a lot of people consider Drake to be a legend. But then when you look at the latter half of their career, they're making music that's uninspired, that doesn't live up to their previous work. What complicates the opinion of making somebody a legend when their work is not really relevant in terms of their legacy?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm glad that you said that because it made me think about something that you said on last week's episode. And I want you to talk about this a little bit. You said that, you know, artists should grow and their albums should get better with time. Give me some examples of artists whose albums have gotten better over time, because a lot of people, their first album is their best.
And that's unfortunate. Some people peak early. I think that obviously Beyonce has gotten better as time has gone on.
I would
There's
agree.
Not many people that have that experience or that resume. Kanye, worse as time has gone on. Adele, worse as time has gone on. And not worse like with a bad degree, but just a decline from 21, obviously. Everybody agrees that 25 is inferior to 21. Who else has gotten better over time? Oh, I would say that Bruno has gotten better over time. The music that he was making previously, I really did not care for. I'm gonna catch a grenade for you. Don't care about that. I'm more interested in what he's making now, and I think that it's gotten better. Those two come to mind.
You know what? I know you're not a fan of hers, but Taylor Swift's albums had gotten better over time.
No. Reputation, yeah, a lot of people
Red,
did not like that album.
Those were her third and fourth albums, Red in 1989, so they did get better over time. So everybody's career has valleys and peaks. Everybody's has valleys and peaks. I'm just saying that, you know, her first album wasn't her best album. She did improve.
I don't know. I don't think that she's gotten better over time. I think that in critical reception, she's gotten better with her last two albums, but Reputation, the third most recent album that she released, a lot of people didn't like that.
I think it's the fourth most recent because didn't Lover come out after that? Yeah. But anyway, then I can tie this into the Maroon 5. Their first album was their best album. They do not make good music. I think those dudes are hella talented, but they don't make good music. I don't give a fuck about your payphone. I don't give a fuck about your sugar. I don't care about none of that shit. Like, get back to songs about Jane. Give me some of that She Will Be Loved and some of that This Love Is Taking Its Toll on Me. But yeah, they're kind of trash.
The thing with Maroon 5 is that when you look up the definition of what is considered to be a sellout, their name is in the dictionary because people believe that they have sold out. If you compare the music that they started out with the music that they're making today, it's very different. But I'm actually against the whole idea of somebody selling out because I feel like as fans, we don't give our artists the chance to grow, develop, change their sounds, change their genres, experiment. We want them to stay the same and never grow, and I don't think that's fair. I think artists should be given the chance to grow, and with Maroon 5, I think that they should also be given the chance to grow, expand, experiment with different genres. I think that they're more so in a way selling out because what they're making is such a departure from their previous work that it's not even recognizable. Some people do it. They change genres and experiment, but they still maintain the soul of their artistry. And some people are able to do that really well and some people aren't. But that's my opinion on that because I think that that's unfair when it comes to the way fans look at musicians because they do it with The Weeknd. He's making the music that he's making now. Critics love it. New fans love it. But his older fans are like, oh, I want the trilogy. Let him grow. Like, y'all need to grow up and get over it. People grow and change. He's, you know, way more, you know, successful than he is now. So why is he going to be talking about stuff that he's not even maybe experiencing anymore when it comes to heartbreak and drug use? So make that make sense.
That nigga's still on drugs, though. You saw that Super Bowl performance.
If you want to get sued, you can say that. But I'm not saying anything.
Allegedly.
There we go.
Can't sue me if I say allegedly.
But that's The Weeknd fans always do that. Oh, yeah, trilogy. Yeah, trilogy. Shut up. Y'all are honestly, they're some of the most annoying fans I've ever seen. Them and the J. Cole fans and the Nicki Minaj stans are annoying.
You start that beef with the Barbs if you want to.
Speaking of Barbs, I know that we have so much to get through, but unpopular opinion to me is that Nicki Minaj has not made any lasting musical impact? Like, what is the piece of music from Nicki Minaj that's going to live on forever that people will be like, yes, she did that?
Oh, I got it right here. She managed to rhyme candy store and toddler in a song. Lasting musical impact forever.
I mean, but think about it.
That's a bigger reach than you've ever done on this show when you call me radical. That's the definition of reach. That should be in the dictionary.
No, I'm being serious though. Like, what song from Nicki Minaj is gonna live on forever?
Maybe Super Bass. Look, put it like this. You put me in a very uncomfortable situation to have to defend Nicki Minaj as an artist. She is one of my least favorite artists of all time. I hate her music. Her music has made me turn my radio off completely and drive in silence because I dislike her music so much. So, no, I would tend to agree with you. I don't think she's the best female rapper of all time. I don't think she's the best female rapper of her generation. None of that shit. Like, I think Cardi raps circles around her. Lauryn Hill is a better rapper than Nicki Minaj.
No.
Megan Thee Stallion raps circles around her.
That's an unpopular opinion. I had to stop you at Cardi B. Cardi B doesn't write her own rap, so how can she rap circles
around? You think Nicki wrote all her own shit? That wasn't Wayne, you don't think?
No, see man, the misogyny out. No. So a woman can't write her own stuff without a man being involved. Y'all heard it from Dante. No, you said it.
Don't do that. That's
no, you said that. Take back what you said.
No, I'm not taking back anything. So you're saying because I said I think Wayne wrote it because she was Wayne's artist. They were in the studio together. That I'm saying she can't do it because she's a woman. Nah. Drake had ghostwriters too.
Don't say that then. You're minimizing the success of a woman.
Wayne could have wrote some of Drake's stuff. Yeah,
I don't believe that he has. Nicki Minaj can stand on her own. Like, you would never mention Lil Wayne and say, oh, Jay-Z or whatever is writing his raps. So don't say that with Nicki Minaj.
I just said that about Drake. Sure, Wayne wrote something of his. Like, it has nothing to do with sex. Okay, you don't believe it. I do.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying that's sexist to say something like that.
I listen to hers where her and Wayne are on the same track. I'm like, that definitely sounds like something Wayne would say.
Yeah, and that's what a sexist would say.
Nah, man, you're reaching. I ain't sexist at all. That's stupid.
I mean, you might not be sexist, but what you're saying is sexist.
That's not because somebody is your mentor and they help you out. They might have written something for you, regardless if you're a man or a woman. Me saying that, hey, that sounds like Wayne. Wayne might have wrote that. That's sexist.
You're not looking at the whole world that you're, you know, coming into. A woman that's successful, that everybody says writes her own raps. You saying that somebody else is dabbling in her writing, that is sexist because a woman can write raps on her own without the help of a man.
Yeah, never said that she couldn't. I said it sounded like something Wayne would write.
Exactly. What saying that is sexist and you're not understanding. You have a mental block.
I just said that some of Drake stuff sounds like, hey, that's something Wayne would write. It's not sexist. Saying that somebody might have helped you.
No.
Just because you're a woman and I'm saying that somebody might have helped you with something makes it sexist, period. That's crazy.
Female rappers in the game that writes all her stuff. She has the reputation of writing her own stuff. There's never been even a whisper of somebody else ghostwriting any of her stuff. But you say, oh, I think that Wayne wrote some of her raps. That is sexist to say that because you're in a way insinuating that women cannot write their own raps without the help of a man.
No, I'm not going to let you do that because that's not okay with me. I'm not stuttering. You are sitting here saying that I said something sexist because I said, oh, I've heard things in her music that sounds like something Wayne would say.
She doesn't mean that he wrote it.
That I never said that he wrote it. I said it sounds like something Wayne would say.
Okay. Well, if he mentored her out with it. If he mentored her, isn't it possible that she's influenced by some of the stuff that he's written?
Big wrote for Little Kim. It's a fact.
Okay, but we're not talking about Little Kim. We're talking about Nicki Minaj.
See, you don't let me finish and make the point. Because you're not going to sit here and just accuse me of saying something sexist or being a sexist and not let me
don't get defensive if you're saying something sexist. Accept it. Or when you hear it back, you're going to be like, okay, I see where he was coming from because that sounds a little bit messed up.
We can move on then because
the listeners might be agreeing with me.
Cool. And they could be like, yo, he's reaching. He didn't say anything sexist. You're saying, oh, he said this about a woman, so that automatically makes it sexist. No. Said the same thing about Drake. Man, that's not sexist.
A hit dog is hollering. That's all I'm saying.
No, I think you're reaching. I don't think the hit dog's hollering at all. You're reaching.
We'll let the listeners decide. You guys that are listening right now, do you see the point that I'm trying to make? Do you see where Dante is coming from? If you can have some nuance and discuss what you see and what your opinion is, we'd love to hear from you regarding this topic. Is that sexist? Is it not? Where do we draw the line? Your father has become sick with a deadly virus. Your doctor says that there's only one drug that will cure him, but it costs $18,000 a month and insurance will not cover it. All other avenues to find ways to pay for it have been exhausted. OnlyFans, the company, comes along and offers to pay for the treatment in exchange for you contributing pictures and videos showing your face on their platform. What would you do?
Save my dad. Don't even gotta think twice about it. That one ain't hard for me.
So you would make an OnlyFans and do whatever on there in order to make the money for your family?
Yeah.
So
that's
everybody,
the type of person I am.
So everybody would see whatever you're showing to the world on OnlyFans?
I could care less. If it comes down to saving my family and taking care of me and mine, it is what it is. So you're just going to let your dad die, Justin, since we're reaching all the time now? You're just going to let your dad die, Justin, because you don't want to see people to see your face and your chest at the same time?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I was just taking a moment of silence and agreeing with you.
This guy is a criminal gaslighter, just so y'all know. But anyway, so you would save your dad?
Of course. This is my dad. You only get one. You only get one.
That's not true. That's not true.
Oh, that's actually not true, actually.
See, that's problematic, Justin. You're not thinking about people out there who have two dads. Look at you.
It's not problematic.
No. Just, look at you. That's not being inclusive, Justin. What
you
were
know,
you trying
I'm
to say?
I'm not going to get worked up the way that you got worked
it
up because you were like,
right now, Justin.
I'm not sexist. I'm not going to get worked up. I'm just going to say I had a temporary blind spot and
oh
I forgot to mention the people that have multiple dads. So all the people that have multiple dads, I'm including you in this conversation. See?
This guy,
how you pivot and that's how you have a conversation without getting all worked up and upset.
This guy
okay.
should be in PR. But you know what? I will give that to you. You made a good point there and you pivoted out of that very gracefully. This is why I need to work on my debates because I'm a great negotiator, but I need to work on my debates because if I'm ever going to be in politics, because I like to call people assholes when they're being assholes and you kind of can't do that.
Yeah, you have to be civil. You have to be civil. I'm never going to call you out of your name. I might call you a sexist when you deserve it. But other than that, you know, it is what it is.
I'm done with you.
You're next.
This is a what would you do? You see somebody watching somebody drown. Are you obligated to call the police? Are you obligated to step in and try and save that person? What would you do?
If I know how to swim, I'm going to save them. I'm not going to waste my energy on somebody watching somebody die when I can go save somebody myself. I think that that's silly. There might be a reason why they're not jumping in. Maybe they don't know how to swim, and that's certainly a fair reason why you shouldn't get into the sea if you don't know how to swim. Because guess what? There's not going to be one person drowning. There's going to be two, and that's not going to be good for anybody. So if I know how to swim, I'm going to do my best to save them. And if I can't, I'm going to call the police, call whoever, the lifeguard, whoever, to come save that person. Because I think drowning, honestly, is one of the worst ways to die. Because I almost drowned. I've told the story before. My OG listeners already know. I'm not going to explain it again, but it's terrible and it's very scary. So I'm not gonna look at somebody and say, hey, why aren't you doing anything? I need to look in the mirror and say, hey, why am I not doing anything? And if I can help the situation, I'm gonna do so.
I asked that question because that's what inspired the song In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. So I thought it was an interesting concept. I would just go save somebody. I know how to swim, so I would just go try and save somebody. I'm not going to waste my time wondering what somebody else is watching them. Us talking and having a conversation about why you aren't doing more to help them isn't going to help anything. Got to step in.
I'm going to do a what would you do scenario. So your best friend in the whole world has confided in you that he's been embezzling money from your company.
She's talking about embezzle money. Embezzle, bitch. Embezzle. Embezzle.
Your boss is angry when he sees the returns at the end of the year, and he knows that somebody has been stealing funds. He has called you and all your coworkers into his room to ask if anybody knows anything. As a reward, he offers a promotion to partner that would increase your salary from $40,000 to $1 million per year. What would you do?
To $1 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it ain't for me to cast out other people's sins. That man got to come himself and admit what he did. I'm not going to be the one to snitch on him. That's just not how I'm built. Like I said, when we talked about Juice and the Black Messiah, man, there's a lot of Bill O'Neill's out there. And I love Fred Hampton's. This don't got nothing to do about, you know, street code or nothing like that. It ain't my place to snitch on you in the workplace. I'm not going to be the reason you lose your job. Do your thing.
You're going to turn down $40,000 salary versus $1 million salary per year. $40,000 versus $1 million is a huge life-changing thing, and you're gonna
it's more than life-changing.
You know the person has been embezzling the money and you're not going to tell?
I don't think I would. Now, here's the way that you can get out of that, right? I would have a conversation with my best friend. Be like, look, we've been best friends a long time. Let me know what you plan on doing, because, you know, we got to talk about this. I might have to tell this man or this woman what you did so I can improve my life. I'll be a reference for you. I can get you another job somewhere else.
Well, you know? actually, the amount of money that he's been embezzling is considered a felony under law. So if the person is ratted out, they would not only be fired, but they would serve some prison time as well.
I'm not sending my people to prison, man. I'm just not built like that.
Embezzle.
We both can go get another job.
Embezzle, not for $1 million a year. So you're looking me in the face right now and telling me that you're going to turn down a $1 million a year salary versus the $40,000 that you make currently just so you don't snitch.
It's not about snitching. It's the principle that I ain't turning my back on somebody that's always had my back. I don't give a fuck. If somebody that I wasn't close to did something and there's $1 million reward, yeah, I'm going to tell on you because I don't give a fuck about you. But you're talking about the people that came to my mind that I pictured in my head when you talked about this scenario. Nah, I ain't sending them to jail.
But why are they embezzling? Why are they embezzling?
Because by nature, people are greedy. What do you mean? Everybody always wants more.
This is what's wrong with society, y'all.
Capitalism? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't know. People stealing and doing the wrong thing. And I think this is a hard scenario. I really want to know what you guys out there would do. Would you snitch on your friend? Huh?
You didn't answer.
Yeah, I did.
So you'd snitch.
Don't you dare put words in my mouth.
So you didn't answer.
$1 million a year. I really want to know what what other people would do. Here's what it is. The boss is going to find out regardless. And
get the tap dancing.
I think that the boss would find out eventually, and I would talk to my friend and say, hey, man, you know that you told me that you've been doing this. $1 million is going to change my life, and also it'll change your family's life as well. The $1 million salary that I'm making right now is more than you were stealing. So since you're going to go to prison, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to make sure your family is well taken care of. Have a nice life, and I wish you the best. You are my friend forever, and I love you. And then I would go to the boss's office and say, it was him. It was him that stole it. And everybody's going to be like, and then I get my promotion. I change my life, and I change his life as well. There you go.
So, Charlton, just know to watch your back around this guy. That's all I got to say. Wow.
But, I mean, I don't know what I would do, to be honest. I think I would have to be presented with that situation. I'm a loyal friend. I'll let y'all know that right off the bat. And sometimes an amount of money is not worth your dignity and big your facts. Relationship with your friend. So if that friend means a lot to you, work it out. But just know that $1 million can change somebody's life. And you're stupid for stealing. And I think part of being a good friend is telling our friends whenever they've messed up. And the fact that you were stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from this multi-million-dollar corporation, it's ridiculous. And you should know better as an adult. You know that that's illegal. You're now going to suffer the consequences. But we're still friends and I'll always love you. Like Whitney said. That's my answer, man. Sir.
There's people that will sell you out for free. So $1 million, I guess you can't get too mad about that.
Right. But that's my answer. But I feel like Dante is not being honest with his answer. But that's okay.
No,
the same way he believes that Lil Wayne wrote Nicki's verses, I can believe that's not his true opinion.
Here this guy goes again. Nah, my answer I gave was 100% honest. Wouldn't sell out somebody I really care about like that. Couldn't do it. It's just not who I am. I'm not built that way. Unpopular opinion, this kind of goes into what you were just talking
about. So if you're saying that you wouldn't sell out your friend, if a murder happened, would you have the same opinion? Because if you don't tell the authorities, they'll never find out.
We talked about that the last time we did this.
What was your answer? Because that's similar to this, because that's in a way selling out your friend.
I would give my friend the ultimatum, especially if my freedom was in jeopardy. I'd say, hey, you got to go do this. I'll give you until X time to go do this. If you don't, you know what I have to do to protect myself and my family. I love you. I hope you do the right thing. And I hope you don't force my hand to make you do the right thing.
That situation should apply to this money situation as well. Because if you know something like that, you're an accomplice. So your freedom is in jeopardy.
You didn't say that. And who's to say that your friend is going to snitch and say, yeah, I told Justin that I did this.
Huh?
Who's to say that your friend is going to say, when they get caught, say, yeah, I told Justin that I stole this money. Your freedom's not in jeopardy. They could just get terminated. Who's going to have proof that they told you anything and that they stole money?
No, if it's found out that they stole the money, they're not going to get terminated. They're going to go to prison for a long time.
Well, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Who says that they're going to say that they told you anything?
You don't have to. Somebody else could have overheard him telling you that they've been stealing money and then snitch on you.
Well, now you're throwing a bunch of variables into it that weren't there before.
Okay, because if those variables are in place, are you still going to not tell? If there's a chance that there's recordings or whatever, because that's all part of it.
Well, it's the same thing that goes with the murder thing then. Hey, my freedom's at jeopardy here. You got to do the right thing. I hope that you come to terms and do the right thing.
Snitch?
Nah. Before you changed it all up on me, I had an answer within 2 seconds. You were the one that was like, I don't know, Charlton. I'm sorry, man. You might have to go to jail. You said, fuck Charlton.
Oh my God. I'm done.
Y'all see how Justin rocking out in these streets, man.
Mm-mm. I am to be trusted, y'all. Loyal. My middle name was supposed to be Loyal, and then they changed it to something else. But just letting y'all know, fun fact, it's actually not true.
This is not your finest hour on this episode, Justin.
Oh, it's not yours either. The misogyny, the sexism jumped out.
Yeah, the reaching and saying that stuff about me. That isn't your best moment.
It's not. But you just don't like to admit whenever you're wrong, and that's okay. No, but the listeners will call you on it because they always do.
You know what? I hope listeners write in and talk about this because one thing about me is that I have no problem ever admitting when I'm wrong, ever, because that's helps you grow, man. Like you can be wrong. It's okay. It's not the end of the fucking world. Unless you're defusing a bomb and you cut the wrong wire, it's okay to be wrong.
Like, I'm just saying, there's layers to what you just said. If you look at the history of women and being believed, and are they valid?
See,
that's
when you're doing too much. I'm not talking about anything about believing women. I'm talking about she made songs that sounded like it was influenced by Wayne's writing. It was hit. She was his artist, signed to Wayne. They were in the studio together. Yeah, it sounds like something Wayne would say in a song.
Yeah, all but does saying, he have to write saying, it for it to sound similar is all I'm saying. Does he have to physically write that verse for it to sound similar to a Lil Wayne verse?
No, they could have been rapping together and writing together. It doesn't matter. I'm saying that it sounds like Wayne influence. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying
now
that,
you're
oh,
changing
because
what
she's
you're
a
saying
woman.
To make yourself sound better. You said that it sounds like Lil Wayne wrote her
then.
Verses.
I said this back then that, it doesn't matter, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, you just got me confused.
Oh, see? Now he doesn't remember. Amnesia. Anyway,
no, I don't have amnesia. You got me confused now.
We're moving on.
No, because now you got to take this part out. That's not fair.
I'm not taking it out.
That's not fair.
How is that not fair?
Because if you mess up on something, you're like, all right, I got to cut this out. I just messed up. I forgot the point that I was going to make. It's not that I'm reaching. I forgot the point that I was going to make.
If all of my hiccups in this episode, I'm not cutting out either. I don't cut my stuff out.
Okay. All right.
You just don't want to sound like you messed up or that you're wrong or whatever, or that I'm right.
No, I could care less about that. I don't care if you're right or if I'm wrong. I could care less. I can always admit when I'm wrong. You don't like doing that. but it's okay.
We'll let the listeners decide is all I'm going to say. We might even go live and talk about it and see the live responses as we're doing it. Who knows? But I really want to know what you guys think, because I'm sure people will have opinions, or maybe not.
Yeah, unpopular opinion. People have too much belief in freedom and not enough in choice. This kind of ties back to what you were saying. You know, in this country, people are like, we have freedom to do whatever we choose. It's not really, you don't really have that type of freedom. You don't have blanket freedom in this country. You have the choice. You have the choice to pay your taxes. You have the choice not to go out there and kill somebody. You have choices to be made. And if you make the wrong choice, you will suffer consequences for them. So it's not blanket freedom. It's choice. And that's my unpopular opinion.
I actually disagree. I think that we do have freedom. We have the freedom to do whatever we want. Now, the thing is, There are consequences for whatever you decide to do. If you do something that happens to be against the law, you have the freedom to do that, but you're not free from consequences. So we are a country about freedoms. It's just about there are certain freedoms that will land you in prison and certain freedoms that won't.
Guess it's your turn now.
So my final opinion, both what would you do and unpopular opinion, it's going to be an unpopular opinion, but it is that cell phones and cameras should be banned from live concerts. The reason I said this is because when I was watching some clips of the Billboard Awards, people were taking camera phone videos, people were recording and snapping photos, and I'm like, with the invention of smartphones, we've taken away the intimacy that most artists felt whenever it came to their live shows. People weren't worried about recording the moment. They were worried about living in the moment. And I think that that's a sad, unfortunate consequence of having camera phones, is that we're too busy on our phones to appreciate living in the moment and being at that place and experiencing, you know, your favorite artists perform. We're caught up in the wrong things. And I think sometimes we should be able to, you know, live in the moment. Because think about it. If you go see a play on Broadway, they don't allow cell phones or pictures. So why isn't the same thing applied to concerts? Because they're performing on a stage, they're giving it their all, so why don't the same rules apply? So I think that if you're going to restrict cell phone and video from theater and Broadway, the same should apply to the concert scene as well.
I believe it's an unpopular opinion, but I agree with you 100%. That's a big pet peeve of mine, is going to concerts or anything like that and people just have their camera up the whole time. You're not doing that because you're going to go watch that video back ever. You're doing it to show people that you're there. You want to feel, you know, important or cool because you want to show people that you're there. The ambiance and the live music is a lot better when there's not, you know, thousands of phones and you just see flashes while the artist is performing. So yeah, I think that's more than just about performances. It's about life, man. Just be in the moment sometimes. Everything doesn't have to be recorded or shown to somebody else or live streamed or Snapchatted, whatever you're doing with it. Like, sometimes it's okay to just be and be present in the moment.
And I think that with musical artists, part of the reason why we'll never get another Michael Jackson and other legends is because the mystique. Back then, there wasn't smartphones. So when people went to a Michael Jackson concert, they'll be like, oh, you wouldn't believe what I saw. He did the moonwalk and there was all these pyros and smoke. It was amazing. And there's no video footage to, you know, validate what they saw. They just have the memories to think of when it comes to that certain artist. So the mystique builds up around these people. But when you fast forward to today, the greats of today don't really get that same hype because everybody captures the video at their concert. They upload it to YouTube. Everybody's seen it before and it's not as special. And I think that's sad.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there are, you know, like comedians like Dave Chappelle, they have a no cell phone thing. Prince had the same thing. I think more artists should start doing that.
It'll probably be unpopular, but I think that they should at least try it as an experiment and then see what the vibe is like as an artist and what the vibe is like as an audience as well. To be in a crowd with people that don't have their cell phones, like, how is that? Everybody's just vibing together. I can imagine. And I'd like to be a part of that experiment. So if anybody has a free ticket, you won't regret it.
You don't really like that artist a lot if that's your deal breaker, that you won't go to their concert because they won't let you have your cell phone out and record. Mm-hmm. You really don't care that much. You're not really that big of a fan. I have one more. What would you do? Justin, you're in a 3-person, you know, really tight friendship. You guys are the best, you know, a group of best friends. Your 2 other friends have beef with each other for some reason now. Do you try to play peacemaker to preserve the friendship? What would you do?
Of course. I think that if any relationship or friendship can be healed, it doesn't hurt to try. Obviously, there are certain things that you can't fix, and whatever issue that they have maybe can only be fixed between them. So maybe me being peacemaker really does nothing, because if they don't like each other, they don't like each other. But if you value them and everybody is great when they're friends together, try. I feel like there's no harm in trying. I feel like sometimes in friendships and relationships, we don't try enough. And life is short. Like, the older that you get, time seems to go faster. And, you know, moments like the ones that you experience with your friends, you know, those are rare opportunities whenever y'all are together and y'all are, you know, around each other having fun. So if you can heal it, attempt to. If you can't, I think that we also have to accept when things can't be repaired either. And I think that's an unfortunate part of life as well. Sometimes things can't be fixed and you just have to move on and accept it. The hope is that whatever issue that they have is not that deep. But I would try. I would be the middleman. Some people don't want to get involved, especially if the situation had nothing to do with them. And it depends on how deep that situation goes. Sometimes there's nothing I can do or say that can help.
So for me, I would speak to them both separately to figure out, okay, how do you feel? Why do you feel this way? Get both of their answers. After that, I would tell them my opinion and make my suggestion. But I'm not going to do a parent trap thing where I'm like, hey, meet me here. And then both the people show up. Nah, because they'll come together and get past it on their own time. I can just listen to both of them speak, give them my opinion, say, hey, man, talk about all the good things that we've gone through together and hope that, you know, they think that it's at least worth a conversation, because there's not a lot in this world I don't think can be fixed by a conversation. So I would hope that, you know, they both find it in their hearts and their minds to have a conversation. If not, just got to live with that. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be put in the middle of playing petty games like, oh, well, you can't be cool with him anymore because I'm not cool with him. Nah, I can hang out with y'all niggas separately.
Yeah.
Don't bother me none.
If that's the case. The hard part is that sometimes there might be a situation where they're talking about each other and you're there, and then one friend might be mad if they're saying stuff about the other and you're not telling them because you don't want to start any drama. So I've been in that situation before and it did not work out well. I'm not friends with either of them. So I think that that's, you know, a difficult thing to navigate. I've obviously failed at that and I think about that all the time. If that situation ever happens in the future, I feel like I'll be equipped to deal with it better. But the good thing is that the situation or the drama is between the two friends and not between you and the friends. So in that sense, you can still maintain your friendship with both of them by hanging out separately. But unfortunately, y'all can't hang out together.
Yeah, you know, everything happens for a reason, right? And time will tell if they ever come back together. But that was a good what would you do?
I think so too. Look at you in your bag as usual. That's it for this episode. We wrapped up perfectly. The time looks good. The content was great. Y'all know that. I really want to thank you guys for continuing to listen to the show. It means a lot that y'all listen. I say that every week because I mean it. Send us a question. The link is in the description. Subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. I don't know if there's people that you want us to collaborate with in the future. Leave a suggestion and we'll try and reach out. And who knows, you might see that person as a guest on this podcast. But that's it for me. I appreciate you guys.
All right. As always, thank you for listening. Keep writing in listener questions. We love reading them. We love the interaction. Tell your friends to tell their friends about it. For Justin, I'm Dante. This is Polar Opposites. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
Guys, so we're back with an addendum. You know, we just recorded. Every time we record, we always talk about what we discussed in the prior episode, and sometimes that discussion is good and it's worthy of being heard. So obviously, y'all heard the episode. Some accusations were leveled. We're going to address it and just clear things up just so everybody is on the same page, because y'all know us. You guys know our character. So if we can clear things up in any way, we're going to do that. So Dante, what do you have to say?
Yeah, y'all know after we record an episode that Justin and I talk on the phone probably for another hour, talk about our thoughts on the episode we just recorded, talk about what's coming next week. But this time, you know, we talked about how I felt in the episode that, you know, you're listening to now and that you're at the end of. Like, hey, man, like, I feel like you accused me of something there that I don't stand for and I take my integrity very seriously. So if anybody interpreted the conversation we had about Nicki Minaj the wrong way and, you know, thought that I was being sexist or anything like that, no, that's not where I was coming from. And in the moment, I got heated because of what I just said about how I felt like I was being accused of something that I don't stand for and don't believe in. The point I was making was that there's a song that was on a Young Money album that Nicki rapped a line that sounded like something Wayne would say. So if in the moment I said, hey, I think Wayne writes for her, Wayne definitely wrote for her. Not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. No, I was saying, hey, they sounded very similar. It sounds like this is Wayne influence. Maybe they were writing together or whatever the case may be. Doesn't matter. I wasn't saying it because she's a woman. The same thing could go for Drake. He's been on songs with Wayne. It's like, hey, man, that sounds like a Wayne verse. Cool. Has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman, and that's why I was saying that. Not at all. And that's what I wanted to clear up. And I know Justin has some things to say, and we're going to have a longer discussion about it. So I'll throw it back to you, Justin.
Obviously, we know that you're not a sexist. We know that. Obviously, I would not do the show with somebody who is. It just wouldn't work. But I do think that you can say sexist things without being a sexist. And for example, like if Jay-Z, if I came up here and was like, you know, that sounds like somebody wrote that. Jay-Z writes all his verses. Jay-Z has never been accused of having a ghostwriter, and neither has Nicki Minaj. We know how women are treated. We know how women in hip-hop are treated. By you saying that it sounds like somebody else wrote her verse, when somebody has never been accused of having ghostwriters, it in a way comes off as sexist, because it's almost like a woman cannot have her own success. It's like a woman cannot write her own raps without a man, you know, having his hand in her success. And I felt like that was unfair. So that's why I said it was sexist. And then, you know, on top of that, you always talk about how you're like a music purist, you love music, you appreciate artistry, and then you were saying that Cardi B wraps circles around Nicki Minaj. For somebody that's a music purist and knows music, nobody would ever say something like that. Cardi B has come out and said that she's open about not, you know, writing her own stuff. She has ghostwriters and she's okay with that.
I know that y'all see this nigga on my comments. His name is Party. He co-wrote Be Careful. Yeah, I said it. He co-wrote with me. What? What's the problem? All your favorite artists, they be having co-writers. All right? All of them. Every single one of them. And I could expose every single one of them. But you know what? I don't even gonna think. But I know it's a fact. Facts. 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 But anyways, me and Party, we got a song.
Nicki Minaj, on the other hand, writes all of her own stuff. And it's great. I'm not a Nicki Minaj stan or a Barb or anything at all. I do not like Nicki Minaj's music, for one. But when somebody says something like that, I have to push back, because even though I don't like a certain artist, I appreciate and acknowledge their talent. And Nicki Minaj, to me, is a legend. So when you're coming out and saying that Cardi B rap circles around her, I have to question that, because I feel like nobody that says that they know music would ever have that musical opinion.
Yeah, what I meant by that is that I enjoy Cardi B's music exponentially more than Nicki Minaj's music. And to touch on what you said about you can say sexist things and not be sexist, I want to make it very clear to y'all, that had nothing to do with her being a woman. What I said about that has nothing to do with, oh, you're saying because she's a woman that she can't do this. No, has nothing to do with about it. It's about the similarities that I heard in the verse. I'm not saying because she's a woman that's the case. Like I just mentioned Drake, right? I've heard him and Wayne sound the same on tracks. Or like, oh man, that sounds like something Wayne would say on this song. I'm not trying to take anything away from Drake for being a man. I'm not trying to take anything away from Nicki for being a woman about it. About the talent and the music purist thing. Yeah, Nicki writes her own stuff. I personally don't like her music, like I just said. I like Cardi's music more. I enjoy it more. She doesn't write her own stuff. Duly noted. You know, that I can't argue about. What a lot of what led to this conversation made me see, you know, my favorite word, Justin's perspective, is when on an episode, I don't even know how many months ago now at this point, he said that Post Malone was just the White Weeknd, and I like took offense to that. I'm like, yo, you gotta get the fuck out of here, man. Like, the Weeknd is super talented, great artist, one of the best artists of our time, and you're comparing him to Post Malone. He used that, you know, against me to make me see his point of view, and said, well, that's what you're saying about Cardi and Nicki. I was like, all right, cool. Now we're on the same page and we have an understanding. Let's hop back on here and talk about this and clear the air about everything. And we felt that it was very important to come back on here and do that. Mm-hmm. So. No, what I said about Nicki Minaj has nothing to do with her being a woman. That's not where it came from. I wasn't saying, hey, you know, female rappers can't, you know, write their own raps, or anytime that a female rapper has a good verse on a song, it's because a man wrote it. I'm not saying that at all. Listen to Rhapsody if y'all want to hear a good female rapper. She's amazing. Ain't nobody writing her stuff. If that's what you enjoy. You know, if you enjoy Nicki, great. Do your thing. I'm not judging you for it. Not judging her. I'm not accusing her of using ghostwriters. All I point out was a similarity in what I heard. And, you know, I could be wrong. Could be a baseless claim. I could be right. It doesn't matter. I'm big enough to admit when I'm wrong, and I have no problem doing that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes as men, we don't see our own blind spots. We approach things in good faith, but because of the world and, you know, everything that women have been through, our approach can come off as sexist. So that's what I was saying. I'm not trying to accuse you of being something that you're not, obviously, but I'm just trying to warn how that might come off given the way female rap is interpreted, given the way people aren't given credit. A woman can write her own raps and it sounds similar without a man, you know, having taken part in that, you know, song or whatever. I think that Nicki Minaj writes all of her own raps and I think she's very talented and she has the throne for a reason. So I think that when it comes to talking about them, I would never like make a statement of somebody else wrote that or it sounds like somebody else wrote that, because I think that that's in a way belittling and demeaning Nicki Minaj. And I know, like you said, you know, you're not trying to make a statement about women. You're just saying that Lil Wayne specifically wrote that. I'm just trying to warn how that might come off to other people.
Duly noted. That's why we have conversations on here.
Yeah. And for the record, Nicki Minaj is a legend. And she's better than Cardi B. I prefer Cardi B's music, and that's okay. But that doesn't take away from Nicki Minaj's talent. We like what we like. And it's just interesting how certain artists, you know, the audience gravitates towards, you know, other people. You know, Cardi B has 5 number ones. Nicki Minaj writes all her stuff, and she only has 2 number ones. One of them, she had to work with a pedophile to get it, but that's okay. We all have to get it how we can get it. But, you know.
Is that okay?
I don't know. That's her decision. She can do whatever she wants. People have questions about the person that she's married to. I think that the guy's a registered sex offender. That's on her. I'm not Nicki Minaj. I don't live her life. I just acknowledge the music and the artistry. She is a legend. Let's not take anything away from her. And we can agree to disagree on certain things, but that's where I stand on the issue.
Yeah, no. Like you said, there are certain things that we can agree to disagree on, but when it comes to each other's personal integrity and views on the world, there are certain things that if something can be misinterpreted, that's what we got to clear up, and that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, so this is for the record, in case anybody had any questions, but whenever y'all go back and listen, y'all can interpret whatever y'all want to interpret, but for the most part, we try to give our views on the issue the best way we know how. And if we get things wrong, we'll admit it. We'll always come on here the next week and talk about how we've reflected and we've changed our opinions if that happens. So it's definitely possible. But as I always say, we want to know what your opinion is. If there are blind spots that I have, please let me know. Because sometimes a third party can kind of be like, okay, I see where Justin's coming from with this. I see where Dante's coming from with this. What Justin meant was this. What Dante interpreted was this. This is why y'all were disagreeing. And maybe you can be that third party for us. But, you know, we might not see it now, but we might see it in the future. Continue to listen. If you have an opinion that's different from ours, we always like to plug the anonymous link in the description. Send us something. It means a lot reading your stuff. Like Dante said, y'all keep sending stuff in and we read it and we love it. A lot of it is funny. A lot of it is interesting. You guys are really smart. So please don't feel afraid to reach out.
You know, we thought it was important to come on here and talk it out, you know, after we talked it out after the episode and let y'all know where our heads were at, where both of us were coming from, to let y'all know that y'all ain't listening to no sexist or people that act in bad faith or decide, or, you know, want to put other people down because of their differences, because that's not what we stand for. That's not what we do on this podcast. That's not what we do in our everyday lives. So thank you for listening to the extended cut. And we'll have another great episode for you next week.
Bye, guys.